Welcome to the Agents Lounge Podcast, where we talk all things real estate with the industry's top performers. Join us as we dive into the inspiring journeys of successful agents and uncover the secrets to their success. Whether you're a seasoned agent or just starting out, we got the tips and tricks to help you navigate the world of real estate. Brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. So grab a seat and join us in the Agents Lounge.
All right, so welcome back. This is the sixth episode of Agents Lounge Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Gaylor, co-host Francisco Bermudez Jr. with owner of Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. We have Mr. Gino with 5G Electric accompanying us today. And then the focus of today's episode, Mr. Brett Reed with Real Property Management Hill Country Branch. Is that right?
Correct, yes. Hello.
So just kind of break the ice a little bit before we get going into the nitty-gritty. What is the most sporadic, adventurous thing that you've ever done?
When we feel right like it, we'll just, pick up and drive to the beach with, an hour's notice. I don't know if that's the most sporadic, but that comes to mind.
Really?
Yeah.
You were just like, I want to be at the beach right now.
Yeah, and exactly. I'm going. We're 2 hours away. Why wouldn't we?
Poor day or?
Oh, yeah. Poor day. All the way.
Nice. What about you, Gino? You got anything?
I would love to go to Port A.
Let's
go. The ATVs.
Yeah.
And hit the road. Let's travel.
Nice. All right. So just give us a little bit of background about before you got into what you do today.
Yeah. So I've actually been in real estate for close to 15 years now. I have been all over the place in property management, in commercial real estate, in the real estate software industry. I've sold data and analytics products. I've managed some of the softwares that a lot of real estate agents and brokers use on a day-to-day basis. I've managed over 10,000 properties throughout the United States. And, last year I decided to go out on my own, so now I own my own business.
Yeah. And what does that look like? Did you get to transfer some clients from your old
past? Nope. I moved to San Antonio in 2020. I have a lot of family that's here and that I was born here, actually. And I just said, you know what, now's time to start my own business. And so my wife and I, we talked about it. We made the decision. And since January of 2022, I have been building and growing a property management company here.
Nice. What did that look like, just starting kind of new? How did you, market yourself? How did you get your name out there?
Yeah, so I'm with the Real Property Management franchise. It is a Neighborly brand. So, we have some of our sister companies like Molly Maid or, Mr. Handyman.
Yeah.
And I went with them. They have helped me with marketing support, with website, with just kind of a plan in place. But it was a lot of getting to know realtors in town. Obviously, all the online internet advertising sources and really just beating the street and trying to meet as many people as possible that have some sort of connection to the real estate world.
Yeah.
And once you start doing well for others and, if they let the Googles of the world know, then everyone else starts calling you.
Yeah. Do you have any particular networking groups you're a part of?
Yeah, I'm part of a couple, just real estate meetups and focus groups. BNI Network is one of them that I think that's where we connected with Airtegrity with. And the Burney Chamber of Commerce, my office is in Burney. And so, those are a couple that come to mind.
Nice. So what advice would you have give to someone that's just starting out in the industry?
Be prepared to do a lot of work.
And what does that look like? What does it look like?
Well, the property management industry is definitely fun. There's definitely something new and different every day. But, it takes a while to build. And, it's
just like any other business, I'd imagine, right?
But yeah. But it's kind of a, being a jack of all trades, being able to identify when you need, you know, an electrician, when you need, you know, air conditioning help, when you need plumbing, when you need someone just to remove a bunch of junk from a home, as well as just the daily leasing and, you know, managing tenants and making sure move-in processes and re-keys and all that kind of stuff goes well,
yeah,
you know, smoothly, so that your tenants are happy, so that your owners are happy.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that's a good thing, like you said, with real property, that is like you had your connections already here. So like Molly Maid, you said, right?
Correct,
and
yeah.
And then Mr. Handyman? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, really it's just about having a, you know, a lot of contractors, vendors, handyman, people in place that when something needs to be done, you know who to call, and more importantly, they know you so that they will get out there and do your job quickly and get things done.
Yeah. So do you have, like when you first started with real estate, did you have an open door? Or did you have to kick a door down? What did that look like? So did you have a mentor of sorts?
When I first started, in real estate back in what are we calling it these days? The Great Recession. Mm. Back in, I think it was 2009 in Austin, Texas, in the UT area.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I was looking to get into teaching. I was fresh out of college, and that wasn't going anywhere. My little brother was working in real estate in the campus area, and he said, oh, you should, you know, come work with me. And so I did, and, you know, we had fun. We made some money at it. And,
yeah.
That just started me off down the real estate path. And
man,
years later, here
I can't tell you how often, like, so this is our sixth episode, right? And like almost all of the realtors or property managers we've had on have been, it's something to do with teaching almost.
Oh, really?
Let's say 5 out of 6 now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Francisco taught it. Gina, do you have any teaching experience?
No.
I don't either, but it's a common trend that we're finding.
So oh, that's crazy.
You mentioned that you started around the recession time in 2008.
Yes.
Do you feel like we're going in that direction again, or
good question. I don't know. You know, I listen to as much as I can, but you know, and also try to pay attention to the trends of the market. I can tell you the rental market isn't slowing up, and even if we are, I mean, if you compare the market numbers to what they were, you know, 2019 or so, it doesn't really look like we're going into that much of a recession. You know, even if the rest of the country does, I always feel safe and secure in Texas because people are moving in.
Yeah.
You know, and even if things are going down, the influx of people immigrating here to Texas means there's a huge amount of demand. Mm. So from what I can tell, you know, home sales are still doing well. I don't do much of that, but rentals are just as strong as ever. And
yeah,
you know, if we put a rental up, we'll have at least, you know, 10 people that are beating down our doors trying to rent it out.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think about that until you just said it. We, like, literally Texas has Central South America immigrants coming in. We have people coming from really all over the country to Texas.
Yeah.
And masses, like.
Yeah, so. And most of it is you know, that that California, New York, Florida, they're all coming here, and you know, a lot of people are wanting to rent, at least for a year or so. But
right.
It's also pushing other people out that would have bought that now say, all right, let's rent for a while. So I never have problems finding renters. I, you know, my biggest problem is making sure a homeowner will have a nice quality house that is just ready to be rented, ready to be moved into.
Yeah. So what does work-life balance look like, especially now since you're starting your own thing?
That is, you know, that's tough, but we're figuring it out. No, it's definitely something, and this is the first time I have owned my own business, so making sure that I figure that out is very important to me. We're taking on a couple people that are helping us out, just, you know, in part-time roles or as a real estate agent role that can help us,
yeah,
you know, get new owners on board, lease out properties for us, you know, part of that so that I can actually sit down in the office and breathe once in a while and go home and see my wife and kids.
Yeah, so I can't, like, do you have to set boundaries for yourself or for other people? What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, it's a fine line there because, excuse me, part of the property management industry that is tough is, you know, you're managing someone's, you know, $500,000 asset sometimes.
Yeah.
So when someone is entrusting you a couple $100,000 and it's not like a stock that isn't going anywhere, this is a house that could burn down, could flood, could, you know, real damage can happen. You know, you want to be available and you need to be available. But at the same time, you know, yeah, I've had to learn to make sure I shut it down and say, okay. And I tell owners and tenants this all the time that, you know, I don't mind if you communicate to me anytime.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, just bear in mind that if it's a night, if it's a weekend, and I don't deem it to be an emergency, you know, and state law doesn't deem it to be an emergency, I might not get back to you until, you know,
yeah,
Monday tomorrow morning or something,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Something like that. Or,
but still, you know, I you know, also have the heart for, hey, if there's something that's going wrong and all I have to do is text someone and tell them, oh, just go over to this panel or just go over and, you know, turn this knob or something, or here's who you should call, then of course I'm going to do that. You know, as you all know, it's not an emergency to, you know, fix the AC system if it's below a certain temperature.
Right, right.
But it still sucks when you've got a 80-degree house and there's no AC. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't mind, you know, calling up Airtegrity and saying, hey, can you get out there on a Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And it's interesting because I feel like throughout the years, you can troubleshoot most of the stuff over the phone, right, with most of the stuff that you have seen. Like,
yeah.
like, because when we talk to several property managers, they're like, we already told them to do this, this, and this. I'm like, man, you guys know more than... Like, y'all can be a technician already.
Oh, yeah.
The experience you have.
Right.
Well, and, you know, technology has made it so nice, too, to where if I can, you know, if I can get from my tenants and send to, you know, one of y'all, here's a video or, you know, a couple pictures of the issue that's happening. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you already know this is, you know, this is what it's going to take. Or,
yeah,
you know, sometimes we'll even have people just say, oh, look, I like, it's not even worth my time going out there. I don't even want to make money. Just tell them to do this.
Yeah.
And they can fix it themselves. And,
yeah, right. You know, that, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've went down that rabbit hole before. I can't imagine that we've all been stuck in a situation where we're like trying to fix something from a YouTube video or something, like somewhat. And especially with like my car or something, and then, you know, you just end up messing up things worse. Or usually in my case,
I'm gonna bring Gino here. So, what are your thoughts, Gino?
You ever had to go back on a YouTube repair attempt?
Probably like on a mechanic where you drop a screw down somewhere you can't reach.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Take a panel off you don't know how to get back on.
What about for electricity? Like, what are some of the things that you see?
In electrical, we run into all kinds of problems in the homes because the electrical, the panels, they're only equipped to last about 45 years. So a lot of these homes are very old, and people don't know. They're like ticking time bombs in their wall. So when we go in there, I mean, there's times where there's tape holding the panels. I mean, they got thumbtacks. They got wires. I mean, we've seen it all. We've seen lizards stuck in there, feces, rats. I mean, you name it, and... People are there's some electricians / handymen that don't take pride in their work, and when they go in there, they just tie two wires and they call it good and they leave. And you call them up, they don't ever answer their phone. See, so when we go in there, we take photos of everything, and we don't hide from our work. We document all that, and that's very hard to find. So when we do go in there, people like love us, like we're God. Like, oh, we've had so many electricians in here, and they don't want to do it. They run as soon as we said we're gonna call CPS. They take off because they don't have license, they don't have insurance, and
oh man.
And when they call CPS, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put CPS to work. I mean, they get here, and I make sure they make the repair done right. I mean, we did that yesterday. As a matter of fact, we had a house almost burned down because of that, and I had CPS go out there. And when they turned off the power, and we found a wire that was burned out, melted. It was on a gutter box. So it was powering up two houses, and they were both going out. So, I mean, we come across some crazy.
Oh, man.
It's like you go and open up a panel, you're like, oh, hopefully it's okay.
Yeah, we saw a client that was stealing the neighbor's electricity. And wow. He burnt out his refrigerator, his AC compressor, and several appliances because he wasn't getting the right amount of power. But like we're like, we're not going to get involved, but you need to get the right voltage to your home.
Yeah.
But it ended up, it's going to cost them a lot of money to do those repairs for sure.
Yeah. Very dangerous, and it's a fire hazard. I mean, you got to take care of your family and make sure your home's safe.
Because right.
At the end of the day, it's your family and it's peace of mind so you can sleep peacefully. Because that's what we get a lot. Customers is, I hear something in the wall cracking or crackling when I turn on the switch. And I mean, you don't want to sleep like that every night. I mean,
yeah.
That's why you call us, so that way you can sleep at night.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's like a thought that I had come to mind is just the importance of like the small things you were talking about, mm-hmm. taking pictures and just, you know, being licensed and, you know, you're not afraid of CPS, right? So we try to do, and picking up the phone when somebody calls, like all of those small things really, really are important, but so often overlooked.
Yeah.
So Britt, going back to you, what's the process like to put your house in the market for renting? How does that usually work?
Yeah, so usually, in fact, happened this morning that met with a gentleman. He's considering renting out his home that they had invested in and fixed up. And so we did a walkthrough. You know, I pointed out to him, hey, here's the things that, you know, I would change around to, you know, to get this leased out better. You know, as I tell a lot of people, you know, everyone I meet with, you know, luxury and comfort is very nice, but, you know, making sure it's functional is the absolute most. You know, you can have a, you know, the nicest looking room or bathroom in the world, but, you know, if that shower is not actually going to work or the hot water doesn't work or something like that, well, it's just going to, you know, they may see it at first and say, oh, this is nice. But then when they get in there, they're going to make request after request until things are, you know, are working nicely. So making sure the home works, all the, you know, the water, the electrical, the air conditioning, of course, in Texas, is all working, but that it looks nice and, you know, you can, you know, walk in and say, okay, this is clean, it's comfortable. I would, you know, I would enjoy living here. So
yeah.
Once an owner, you know, we have that established and an owner decides they want to rent their property out, you know, they can engage with my services. I'll send them a management agreement. Once they sign that, I tell them I need keys to the property, you know, and all the information about utilities, about how to, you know, who, what, when, where, why of the property. We will go in, we take pictures, we list the property. We start taking requests to, you know, to show the house to prospective tenants. We screen and qualify applicants. And at the end of the day, we deliver a signed lease. We'll move the tenants in, and then it's off to the races. And our owners, they sit back and just, you know, collect their paycheck or collect their owner draw on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
So they're not really having to do anything except, as I tell them, you know, keep paying your mortgage, pay your taxes, your insurance, and your HOA, and you know, don't ignore my calls.
That's kind of a good segue. So have you ever faced any ethical dilemmas in your real estate career, and how did you handle them?
I'm sure I have. Yeah, there's...
Is there any that, like, pops to the front of your working memory?
You know, I think that, you know, the biggest, you know, the biggest thing is just... You know, when you've got owners that, you know, that don't want to spend money, you know, and it's never fun to, you know, go to someone and say, hey, you're going to have to spend some money on your house. And you know, there are things that you know, I get on the owner and the tenant side, but there are things that we have to fix, you know, and especially for me being a, you know, a licensed real estate agent, being a professional, you know, property management company, that I can't just turn my back on a property and say, okay, we're not going to fix this or that. You know, some of it could be safety hazards, moral hazards,
yeah.
You know, just things that need to be done. And so telling an owner, yeah, you've got to spend money. You know,
it's not always an easy conversation.
It's not. It's hey, we spend this money or we're done here. I'm going to have to fire you. You know, on the reverse side, you know, some of the hard conversations with tenants are when, you know, just because you're leasing a property doesn't mean that that you're off the hook for anything that happens in the home. And far too often, tenants think that that oh well, if I break that, the landlord will pay for it because it's their house.
Well, oh yeah.
Not really.
It's not my window. It's not my stove. Like stuff like that.
Well, and things like appliances. Okay, if they break a window, it's pretty clear cut, you know. But if a refrigerator goes out, that's some of that gray area.
Right.
All right. Whose fault is it? Well, refrigerators do that, you know, especially the way they make them nowadays.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you have one go out within a year or something, and it's clearly due to neglect or something, or leaving the door open. All right, well then,
right?
You've got to have those hard conversations.
Yeah, I imagine that's all in writing.
Do you have an investigator
for refrigerators or no?
The lawyers and insurance companies control the world, so it's all in the, you know, the 20 plus pages you sign your life away on.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. That was a good one. You kind of covered a lot on that one. So, like, strategy for dealing with difficult clients, ethical dilemmas.
I just find it's best to, you know, tackle it head on, and you're probably going to piss some people off, but you know what? It's worse when you try and hide issues. You know, I don't want to dance around something or sugarcoat it because someone's worried about paying $40 for, you know, for something, some service, when it's like, all right, listen, if we don't tackle this, it's always going to be more expensive, you know, and someone who doesn't want to pay for a simple, you know, an AC tune-up or a quick, fix because something's wrong. Well, what's going to happen in 5 months, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes from a $200 charge to a $2,500 charge. And
Now or pay later.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be paying some interest later, too, yeah.
Well, and that's what – and I'm blessed. I have, you know, most all of my owners are you know, have the right investor mindset to where they realize that that this isn't about, you know, $200 here or there. You're buying a house in like the ninth biggest city in the United States of America. Okay, mm-hmm. We're in the top five or something in population growth. So, what are the chances that this house is not going to be worth a heck of a lot more money in 20, 30 years? In fact, I think I saw a stat saying that real estate prices doubled over the last 30 years. And that was just, you know, somewhere in the last year or two.
Just housing in general, I think I saw that stat recently too. It was 183% since, I think, 2002, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Kind of to get political, but like the working wage has only went up 26% since then. And they were like doing a compare contrast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have, you know, the governments have made this an inflationary economy. And so when you can buy a house at a fixed price, you know it's going to increase, especially the way they've been spending money. And so it has absolutely been a good investment to buy, you know, at a fixed price on a fixed interest rate. And, you know, these houses, I mean, I don't know anyone in their right mind who doesn't think they're going to double in another 20 to 30 years.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, if you can buy a house in San Antonio for, you know, $300,000 to $400,000, knowing that it's going to be worth $700,000 to $800,000 in a generation.
Yeah.
Well, do you really want to have a house that's not taken care of? Because when a house is dilapidated and you haven't done anything to take care of it and you've had a lot of deferred maintenance, now all of a sudden, you know, in that 20 to 30 years, you've got what could be an $800,000 asset that should be your retirement. But guess what? You've now got to put $100,000 into it. Well, if you're like this, you probably don't have that $100,000 to spend.
Right.
So instead, some house flipper is going to come buy your house on the cheap, and you could have had a nice investment, and turns out into no, you you let someone else walk away with that money.
Right. That's some good advice. Very thorough. Appreciate that. I had one question just for myself. So, like, what does an ideal renter look like in this economy if they come to you? What are the greatest things? There's another word that I'm missing. It's not clicking right now. What are the greatest things get me qualified?
You know, things I look for, you know, is someone who smiles. Honestly, someone who is going to realize that, like, listen, this is it's transaction, mm-hmm. but it's also an ongoing relationship. Nothing, you know, anyone that expects things to be perfect is not going to make a great renter because, yeah. you know, look back at your own house, whether you own or rent it.
Yeah.
Something's going to go wrong. There's always going to be maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things will go wrong. And, you know, so tenants who look at that and say, okay, well, what can I do to make sure I take care of this home? Because if you can't buy a home, well, then you have to rent. And right. so, you know, knowing that you've got a part to play, just it's not just, okay, owner, you have to, you know, serve me and take care of me. Okay, yeah, there's a part of this. This is the owner's roof and walls and floors and blinds and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But tenants who realize they've got a part to play in it as well and will help out with it and be patient, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, getting service people out to do a job is, you know, one of the worst it's ever been in this economy or in this country. And, you know, prices have gone up for everyone. And so, you know, just the general handyman, you know, or people that are coming out to do, you know, those that repair work, their costs have gone up. So their prices have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I remember when you could get a, you know, someone to just come out for $75 and, you know, fix a bunch of stuff in half a day. And now, you know, those days are over. So
you just getting get a something from Olive Garden for $75.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go to a day if you ain't got at least $75.
Yeah. You might have to go to McDonald's now, and that's barely under.
Yeah.
Right. McDonald's is $15 now, $12.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah.
So, you know, with that, it's looking for tenants who are, you know, going to realize that it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we'll get people out to do repairs, but, you know, to expect things to, you know, be done immediately, well, then, you know, that's, I mean, you know, that's just not happening nowadays. We get things done as quick as possible, but.
Yeah. So, just a little bit further, for maybe some people that will watch this, if they reach out to you, what should the debt to income look like for renters? What should maybe a credit score baseline be before having a serious conversation with you?
Yeah, in general, you know, renters, we look for 3 times the monthly rent as income.
Yeah.
So your gross income, if you're looking to rent a $2,000 a month house, and most houses around San Antonio, I think the average rent is $1,800.
Yeah.
So income is your, you know, gross monthly income should be around $6,000 or higher. You know, average credit scores 550 or better. You know, and that'll depend on each property, each owner.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we don't accept anyone with evictions.
Yeah.
You know, pets is always a fun one. But
toss up.
Yeah. Every property owner has, you know, has their own, pet policy. You know, we don't lease to a lot of the restrictive breeds or the aggressive breeds, for dogs, you know.
Mm.
Cats are usually fine, but, you know, let's face it, everyone wants to have a pet. I get it. It's, you know, it's nice, it's fun, but
yeah.
Pets also do cause damage of, you know, or maintenance on a home.
Right.
Whether that's actual physical damage you can see or smells and odors.
Smells and odors, maybe the backyard too, like yeah. just digging up like some of yeah. the grass, you know?
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, hair in the carpets. Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the biggest one is blinds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dogs just love to chew on blinds. And you know, I hate those things. But, you know, everyone wants them. Everyone needs them. But, you know, if you chew through not you, but if your pet chews through,
well,
either one of you chew through even one of those, you know, the blades on a blind or one little piece, you have to replace the whole thing.
So yeah, yeah,
it's
that's a good point.
If you have a lot of windows, that can get pretty expensive pretty quickly.
Yeah. The number you threw out there for the credit score, 550, I was not expecting less than like a 620, but I guess that's for actually buying a house. Rather than renting.
Yeah, and I don't know all the, you know, national statistics, but I want to say, you know, that a good credit score, you know, to buy a home is 680. I'd say my average renter probably is around a 6 to 615.
Mm.
But you know, I mean, the credit scores are not a perfect system.
Yeah,
and right. I personally don't like them. But
not also, the best indicators.
Yeah, but also, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people really got screwed over during the COVID stuff.
Yeah,
and I've seen just a lot of unfortunate situations, and people's credit situations really took a downfall. And frankly, I can't blame them because they had, you know, when they had no income or way of working, and
and you have rent due every month, utilities piling up, car payments, all that jazz.
I'm sure there's some statistics that, you know, either prove or disprove me, but you know, my personal opinion is a lot of people's credit scores really took a nosedive over the past couple of years.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's not, and it's, you know, it affects real good people, and so. The credit score is something we look at, but it's not the only thing that, you know, determines.
Right.
You know, 'cause there's also other ways if we're concerned. There are, you know, additional deposits or things that we can do to, you know, to work with someone if we see that they're going to be a good renter.
Well, that's great. Great.
And you make that decision of who to rent or the homeowners?
It's a joint effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something that's probably agreed upon before, like it hits the market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's insightful. Appreciate you for sharing that. And I'm sure that regardless of the statistics on it, your boots are on the ground, so your assessment is probably accurate, at least for San Antonio and surrounding areas, I would imagine, as far as
I'd imagine, too. Right. I'll wait for like someone with the stats to be like, no, you're completely wrong.
And yeah. If somebody watching this is going to like, I'm Googling it right now. last question.
Then I'll just call him a troll and never get on the internet again.
So do you have any hobbies or interests that kind of play into what you do for a living?
I don't know if this really plays into it, but I've always just been an outdoorsman, oddly enough. So I work with the indoors. I love land. I love, you know, the outdoors, hiking, fishing, hunting, camping, and you know. So sometimes going to some of these properties are just super nice. You know, I've been in Atascosa County the past couple days, and just. You know, you can get a lot more land out there. Some of it's just gorgeous and beautiful. I've got a few homes up on the Guadalupe, and so that's, you know, just beautiful places. And you know, I'm you know, nowhere on y'all's level in terms of being able to go out and fix a house, but you know, you walk into some of these structures and it's just like, wow, that is just, you know, beautiful what we've created. And you know, I live in a 90s build house myself, but, you know, I grew up going to my grandfather's house, and it was built in like the 20s. And, you know, I have an affinity for some of these older houses that, that in college, our house was built in the 40s or something. And so some of these older structures where they're not all the same, and they have a lot of, just characteristic and style.
Yeah.
You know, I just enjoy that and see, oh, wow, this is awesome the way things were made. And
yeah, that old style, like the 20s are really cool. I don't know, like they're, what do you call them? They're not like colonial style, are they? There's a name for them.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah, so I mean, that's all I have, unless anyone else has any follow-up questions, comments.
No.
We're good?
Good.
All right, so that'll do it for the sixth episode of Agents Lounge. Thank you, Gino, for being here.
Say hi, Gino, to the camera.
How you doing? Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out for sure. Thank you, Brett, for coming out and taking time out of your schedule to be with us. And yeah, we'll see you on the next episode.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to the Agents Lounge Podcast, brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, please visit agentsloungepodcast.com.